You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It is the Diamond District bonus hour. Thanks so much for being with us. Miller and Moulton, MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. The tournament gets underway tonight. Got a battle of 16s, Wagner and Howard. Howard, a 3.5-point favorite. Then you got a battle of, it's 10s, right?
Yes.
Colorado State and Virginia, battle of 10s. Colorado State's a 2.5-point favorite. So True TV, baby. True TV is where it's at for Westwood One on the radio.
Time for that voiceover voice again. Our favorite guy, the Westwood One guy, who basically, if you don't listen, he will come and find you.
You're listening to the NCAA tournament on Westwood One. Keep listening or you will be audited.
I'm fired up. As the day's gone on, I didn't think I would, you know, could get fired up for a 16 seed game, but I'm ready. I'll be all in at True TV come 7 o'clock tonight.
All right. I'll give you this. I'm excited about Wagner and Howard. All right, having experienced Dayton and a couple of 16s going at it. How many years ago was that now? 8 years ago. And just, first off, the place is packed. It's a great atmosphere. They love their college hoops, even for the 6:30 game. They're totally in. I mean, both teams combined, Wagner and Howard, they'll have 371 fans there total. And yet the joint is packed. And they're all in. And they're rooting for both sides, too. They just want a good game. Great atmosphere, but also it's a tournament win, baby. It's national television. 3 to 5 million people are going to see you.
This is where Miller and Moulton have flopped.
Yes.
We at first did not like, well, we still don't like Dayton. In our world, there would still be 64 teams in the tournament. Right. That goes without saying. But given the fact that we can't make those changes, we initially didn't like the 16s going to Dayton. Figured give them a shot. Put all play-ins in Dayton if you're going to do it. But we've come around. It's a tournament win. Gives the team a little bit of something to go take on the one. A little bit of confidence.
And I think helps them in the first half of the 1-16 game that they're about to play in. Because these are the worst of the 16s.
And I would think the players aren't as nervous.
Right.
Because they've played a game. And like David just pointed out, Dayton sold out tonight.
Yeah.
These kids that play for 16 seeds don't play in front of sold-out crowds really ever.
How many times have Wagner and Howard played before this many people in which the people are actually rooting for them and not against them?
Never.
I mean, they're cheering both ways. And then at the end, you find out who's bet on whom. So I'm into the 640 game on True. But when that's over, believe it or not, the game I'm interested in tonight, the I-4 war, baby. Anytime South Florida and UCF play, I'm in. Because they're not in the same conference anymore. I hate you. I hate you more. But I want to play you. I don't want to play you anymore. It used to be U.S. South Florida was the one that started boycotting UCF. Now it's UCF going,
Yeah, they definitely won. I was wrong on this one. I thought before they joined the conference, South Florida was getting all their, you know, the Alabamas on the schedule. I thought they were doing a smart thing. And in that time, obviously, UCF, now a member of the Big 12, they've won.
Now, in 2 years, when South Florida's in the ACC, all right, I think we might be playing again in everything.
If there's an ACC. No, come on.
I understand. I think there will be an ACC. It just will not bear a whole lot of resemblance to the ACC that we knew, that we grew up with. There are a lot of people that the Big East basketball conference to them is not the Big East. I mean, without Syracuse, without Pitt, without Boston College, they just, without Syracuse, there's a lot of people that look at the Big East and go, come on. And it doesn't help that Georgetown's not good.
Yeah, but they've got to fix that. I mean, this is a problem.
I mean, if you're a big time Big 12 fan, I mean, come on, Texas and Oklahoma are leaving. I mean, come on. The Big 12 without Texas and Oklahoma. I mean, come on. Is it still the Big 12? Yeah, it is. I mean, but, I mean, come on, this is going to hurt. This is going to hurt. I mean, to me, Mark, it was like, you know, I was not an Earnhardt guy. Rusty Wallace was my guy. Okay. But every race, I always wanted to know where the three car was. Every race, all the time. Where's the three car? And how Rusty was doing was in comparison to where's Earnhardt. I mean, come on. If you're in the Big 12, how are Texas and Oklahoma doing? Where are they? Are we better than them? Are we as good as them? Are we going to beat them this year?
And you were a Phil guy. And what did you look at a golf tournament? Where's Tiger?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was real easy to know where he was.
I had a Phil.
Yeah, he was teeing off very late all the time.
Right.
You know. I forget what tournament it was. The guy's on the first tee reading off all of Tiger's accomplishments. Gets like 40 seconds in, and Phil goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, when South Florida, they will be in the ACC, Mark, 2-3 years tops. Okay. It's not going to be the same ACC. North Carolina's not going to be there.
Big ACC matchup tonight. East Carolina taking on South Florida.
That's right. On the ACC network. Yes. Mm-hmm.
For those of you looking for NC State, they're on the Big 12 network playing Colorado.
Well, that's a whole different story. But, so I'm in, actually. So, give me the Battle of 16s. Give me Wagner and Howard.
And then you're going NIT shopping tonight, huh?
And then I'm a little South Florida UCF at 9 o'clock. I think you got to go ESPN Plus. I don't even think it gets a network.
It doesn't even get the U?
I think it's a Plus. I don't think it's even a U.
So, wow.
Plus, isn't Tuesday night supposed to be a hockey night? Isn't Tuesday night a hockey night for ESPN?
This is where, David, I've become Seth. I don't know. Right. When I turn on my computer, that's my television, right. I just put on the game that it tells me, and I'll figure out the network later.
Now, I'm rooting for Colorado State tonight because to watch Virginia play basketball, I feel, is a sentence that a judge hands out to someone who he's trying to teach a lesson to. You could do 30 days in lockup, or you could watch Virginia in the ACC tournament. I'd put my hands out and say, put the cuffs on.
Here's the hard thing for me, David, is that I'll probably watch some Colorado State, Virginia. My wife is a Colorado State alum. I've been paying attention to them. I told her in November, I'm like, they're pretty good in basketball this year. You might want to pay a little attention. So I have been paying just a tiny bit of attention to them. But I watched the A-10 final. And after watching the A-10 final, to have to watch Virginia just 2 days later.
You still haven't gotten over the A-10 final.
That is the worst basketball I've ever seen.
So Duquesne won. This is not a mistake. It's not an exaggeration. This is a fact. Duquesne beat VCU and in the second half missed 15 out of 16 shots during one stretch and never lost the lead. For the record, 15 out of 16 empty possessions, didn't lose the lead. There you go. And the lead when it started was only 12. To give you an idea, that's the Rock Fight. Nationally televised, middle of the afternoon on CBS. Kevin Harlan on the call.
As you said before, if you could get Truth Serum, I don't know if he's ever called a worse game.
No. He was the voice of the T-Wolves for a decade. He's done so much basketball. I don't know if he's called a worse game. He had the T-Wolves when they were an expansion team, too. I mean, they were this pre-Garnett. They were not good.
Yeah, that's the question you ask him. First year T-Wolves, right. A-10 final. Well, we'd never get him on again, but if we interviewed him, Kevin, we're going to ask you a question that we can guarantee you've never been asked before.
I'll make you a deal. I run into him a handful of times a year because he's broadcasting. He does Monday Night Football, Westwood One.
Right.
Right. So I run into him, and I usually talk to him about once a month. He recognizes me as the FGCU guy. All right. So I'll go over. We'll talk for a bit. And so I will not give the answer on the air, but I will get the answer to that question and give it to the two of you off air. How
perfect.
About that?
Perfect. Okay. And hopefully he laughs hard enough that maybe he would actually come on the show.
Right.
You know, I mean, that would be fantastic.
In fact, that might be my... So here's the deal, Kevin. We want you on the show. It's early in the morning. Just so you know, our first question is going to be early T-Wolves or the Duquesne-VCU A-10 final, which was worse?
Whew. That's why it is very easy. I think Duquesne plays BYU. It is very easy to pick BYU in that game. I watched Duquesne play.
Well, and I've watched BYU play. Listen, I think that's got to be one of the best bets of the first round.
BYU?
Only like 6.5, 7.5, something like that. I think BYU whacks them. Absolutely whacks them. I think that was a case, by the way, that the tournament selection committee had kind of put A-10 champion on the board, and then it ended up being Duquesne.
Because they don't deserve to be an 11.
They were a 6 seed in the A-10 tournament.
But, I mean, come on. If you played Duquesne against Grand Canyon, who's a 12 seed, Grand Canyon would be favored by 5-6 points.
McNeese State would be favored against them. I think College of Charleston would be favored against them. Absolutely.
James Whereas Madison.
BYU, as Trent pointed out, what's BYU's net?
13.
13. That would be the best 4 seed on the board, and they're a 6. I honestly, I have not looked, I've not examined the brackets closely at all. I have to do it after the show. I got to do something this afternoon. I need to examine the brackets for it. But honestly, best bet, BYU lay the points against Duquesne. If they don't cover that, I wouldn't bet another game in the tournament. I really wouldn't. I'd be like, well, forget it. I don't know what's happening.
I think they're going to the Sweet 16. They're going to beat Illinois in the second round.
That'd be a fun game.
Miller and Moulton, the brackets are coming. True TV tonight. The play-in games begin. Thanks for listening, Miller and Moulton.
Welcome to the Bonus Hour, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Minutes past the hour. Good, bad, and ugly. What's on tap today? Was the day when some final thoughts? Got to make some picks. Hell, we got some college hoops tonight. The tournament, the NIT even, South Florida, UCF. By the way, I think there's a college baseball game if you guys are interested. Isn't it South Florida and FGCU tonight? At FGCU, little college baseball?
Take the over.
Don't know if we can find an over underline on South Florida and FGCU, but yes.
I'm efforting.
That's our next system, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. We don't know if it's going to catch on. You know, we had our college basketball system, which did well.
Cannot bet the over under on USF and FGCU. I can bet the game, however. FGCU a slight favorite.
So our over under on college baseball involves Tuesday, Wednesday, the midweek games. Nobody sends their top pitchers out. It's the number 4 or 5 starters. It's bullpen days, what have you. But everybody plays their top lineups. So you got your best hitters facing your worst pitching. And so the midweek games, I mean, they're 13-9.
By the way, that South Florida UCF game, 5.5 is the number. South Florida's getting 5.5.
I know they are on the road. Yeah. Yeah. UCF beat Kansas. I mean, you know, UCF's got some good wins.
No, they do.
Right.
I thought the line would be a little tighter than that.
I did too.
I thought it was 2.5, 3.
It's at UCF, so that's worth, you know, a couple two-tree there. So it's
and they will.
Like
I would imagine they'll show up for that. For an NIT game, I would think this atmosphere will be decent. If they were playing anybody else, there would be no one there.
Sounds like you're leaning South Florida in the points.
I am.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Hey, shooting the bull with a buddy of mine who said, listen, I'm not in favor of them expanding the tournament, but, I mean, they're talking about it. And the powerful are talking about it. So let's assume it's going to happen. First off, let's just even, if we just expand it four more, which everybody associated with this show is completely against. Please, everybody listening, realize we're completely against this. But it seems as if certain people who are far more powerful than everybody else want it. Dot, dot, dot. Who do you put in the play-in games? And, crazy idea, do you do it the reverse of what we've always thought? The thought being you put in the big market schools against each other and make them fight all these bubble teams. You know, what were the four schools that the committee said were the first four out?
St. John's, Oklahoma.
Well, no, St. John's actually was
Oh, no,
out.
I'm sorry. Seton Hall, Providence, St. John's, and Pitt, I believe, were the first four.
Oklahoma. Well, yeah, yeah. Was, Indiana State
actually,
was one of them as well.
I don't think it was Providence. I think it was Oklahoma, Seton Hall, Pitt, and
Indiana State. There you go.
And so, you know, our thought has always been, okay, so if those, essentially those four would be added, 72-team tournament, those four would have been in this year. And our thought's always been, well, in that case, then those teams are going to Dayton. Do you think there would be any interest if we did it in reverse? And by that, I mean, we made Dayton the place where the 15s or the 16s go.
I don't think anybody would watch. I mean, not anybody. I think part of the lure of these games that they usually have, like tonight there's a Virginia playing. And as boring as Virginia is, that's a named program in college basketball.
Yeah, won the national title, what, 5 years ago?
Haven't won a tournament game since, for the record.
But, David, staying here for a second, I think the teams that win their conference tournament should be in the field. They should not have to play in. That's what I think.
I agree. I was just wondering, like, because the game tomorrow night that is – the Battle of Tens is Colorado Boise State. So in theory, in our world, okay, Wagner and Howard would not be in Dayton. We would say, no, you're in the full field. These other schools have to play their way in. So our Dayton would be Colorado State, Virginia, Colorado Boise State, and then those four schools that we mentioned who were just left out, some combination of Oklahoma against Pitt and Indiana State against Seton Hall.
Right, if we were just at 68. If we go to
if we go to 72, that's what it would be. We'd put all the 16s in, and we'd make these schools. That, in theory, do you take the 16s out of the play-in? Or do you make the play-in nothing but 16s and 15s?
All right, just bear with me here. We've got two 16 games tonight and tomorrow, mm-hmm. and two 10 games tonight and tomorrow.
Correct.
If we're adding four more play-in games.
Oh, you're right. I only added two.
And you took two away.
Correct. So I'd have to.
So all the 16s would be play-in games. And all of the, then there would be, you know, basically whether it's the 10 line or the 11 line would all be play-ins. Because you're doubling the number of play-in games.
Correct. So the question then becomes, are you doing a play-ins with 15s and 16s? Or do you do play-ins with 10s and 11s?
And I would do the 10s and 11s, but I think you'll end up with both. You'll end up with all the 16s being play-ins, and you'll have four games for the 11 line. Or the 10 line, however it shakes out. that the last eight teams in would be, instead of the, you know, now just the last four do it, the last eight would get it and the bottom eight would get it.
Because remember, the four teams added, and let's, we're looking forward, what conferences these schools are in. Oklahoma is going to be SEC. So you got SEC, ACC, Big East, Missouri Valley.
The other thing they have to do if they're going to expand this is find another Dayton. Because it works in Dayton.
It does.
And I don't think shuffling this around the country is the right idea of just, you know, putting it up for bid. You need a site. So Dayton's going to host four games. Who's going to host the other four games?
Well, and I would think that you would need to do it. You know, part of the reason for Dayton, I believe everybody doesn't go west of the central time zone from Dayton either. That it's a fairly doable flight, even though they're flown privately, but that it's an hour and a half flight, no more.
Unless they put it all at Dayton, we start playing games at Tuesday at noon. You know, there's four games Tuesday, four games Wednesday.
You think they could find a place like Omaha? If they're going to find a second location, a place, a really good college sports city, obviously.
But, David, if you're doing two sites, you're having multiple games at the same time. I don't know how that is attracting that many more eyeballs. We're watching because it's the only thing on.
I agree. I completely agree. Do they start ending the college basketball season on Saturday? And Sunday's a travel day, and the tournament started yesterday.
You know, so
we've talked about this with college football for years, Trent, in which we said one of the big problems about expanding the playoff was the schedule. Avoiding the NFL as much as possible. I think you got Christmas, you got finals. You guys are still saying they go to school. Okay, I mean, how deep into January are you going to go?
I really think you keep it Tuesday, Wednesday, you keep it at Dayton, and you play all day. You have a morning session, or you know, an afternoon session and an evening session. Okay. Because if you just add Monday, that's two games, David. Where am I putting the other two games? You're not starting on Sunday. That's Selection Sunday. That TV show already does really well. So what are we trying to do? We're trying to enhance the Tuesday and Wednesday TV show. I just give them all day.
So once again, it's some of the logistics in which they talk about expanding the tournament. Okay, it's a little harder than you guys think it is. Which four? How many in the play-in? You need another location?
The Bonus Hour, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
22 minutes till the top of the hour, 16 until we're out of here. Miller and Moulton, millerandmoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. And our poll question at that Mark Miller, the David Moulton, Miller_Moulton, is so you could have UConn, Purdue, and Houston, or you could have the field. Who are you taking? And for most of today, the field has been running away with this. I'm shocked.
71% of the vote taking the field, David.
Wow. That's five out of every seven people taking the field, not taking the ones.
Yeah, I'd like to see all their brackets when they're filled out. That's all. I mean, you're all taking the field, and you're all going to have UConn at the end of your bracket. Who did you take? You take the field, David?
I did take the field.
And when you fill out a bracket, do you really think you're not going to have UConn, Purdue, or Houston at the end of it?
I could see me not having Purdue and Houston at the end, mm-hmm. but it's really difficult. I am counting on Auburn in the Sweet 16, Iowa State in the Elite Eight. I mean, never mind who UConn could face in the Final Four. Like, I think their road this year on paper looks as if it could be a lot more challenging than last year. Think about their just the two wins last year to win the national title. I mean, they had to beat Miami and San Diego State. I mean, we don't think that's going to be the road in the Final Four this year for UConn, if you know what I mean, if they get there. Never mind the road to get there. So I just think, you know, it's kind of like the Iowa women, man. If you believe in conspiracies or whatever, let me tell you, CBS would love for UConn to be in the Final Four. That's a tough draw for a one. North Carolina's draw, the toughest draw of the ones.
And it should be.
But you would think, I mean, these are the two blue bloods, right? Purdue and Houston are not blue bloods.
No.
Carolina and UConn qualify. Sorry. They've cut down the nets too many times.
In such a long period of time now. I mean, this century, if we don't call them a blue blood, I don't know who we're calling a blue blood.
Right. I'm pretty sure they got the most titles this century. So, certainly in the last 25 years. So, if you believe in, then they would have made UConn and North Carolina's draws Purdue and Houston's draw, to be brutally honest. And the Iowa women clearly got the toughest draw of the four ones on the women's side.
And that one's even tougher because typically the ones, twos, and threes don't lose. You don't get upset in the women's tournament the way that you do in the men's side. But it's going to be really weird if they have a Final Four without Caitlin Clark, and she's going to be in every commercial during the women's Final Four.
It'll be like that Olympics 30 years ago when Reebok had the whole marketing campaign. There's only one problem. The two guys that were going to be in it didn't qualify.
It's time for someone to take back this segment, if for no other reason than to stop David from talking about Meghan and Harry. Here's Mark Miller with Today Was the Day When.
I'm telling you, we need some sports to start happening because this segment is failing me. There's nothing. Okay. I mean, absolutely. I got five things and none of them are that interesting. There's only one that's even that interesting to me. 1950, we start out. A little basketball for you. CCNY beats Bradley for the NIT. The NIT was a big deal in 1950.
Well, and shortly thereafter, I think the whole CCNY betting scandal happened.
Exactly. Today in 72, David, was the first AIAW women's basketball tournament.
This was 72.
72.
Right.
I mean, think about that.
Well, they basically, I think, played the 70s as AIAW. I don't think the NCAA embraced it till, 79, 80, something like that?
Sounds about right. Today in 1991, the NFL owners stripped Phoenix of the 1993 Super Bowl for not recognizing MLK Day as a federal holiday. Think about that. They took a Super Bowl away from Phoenix.
Yes, they did. State of Arizona didn't recognize the national holiday, which was passed over Reagan's veto.
Today in 91, also Brett Hall became the third to score 80 goals in a season. But maybe the most significant bit of data I have on this day in history came in 2012, David, when Wendy's overtook Burger King as the second best-selling burger chain in America.
And they have now been overtaken by Chick-fil-A. I believe Chick-fil-A is now number two.
Yeah, but not burgers.
Oh, true.
Not burgers.
That's true. But just fast food.
Wyatt Earp, Richie Ashburn, both born today. Glenn Close is 77. Bruce Willis is 69. And that's all I have, David.
It's funny. I have a lot today.
Not, give it to me.
Okay, well, first off, today in 1931, Nevada legalized gambling.
Way to go, Nevada.
It's just quite the trendsetter there. The very first Academy Awards were telecast on NBC today in 53. Elvis purchased Graceland today in 57.
Goodbye.
He put the down payment on it. Okay. So... Oh, it's a good buy. You got a lot of land with that.
Yes,
sucker.
He did.
Yeah. What else we got here? 66. That whole Texas Western Kentucky, you know, the all white team against the all black team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Texas Western won.
Huh.
Kind of a big deal.
A really big deal.
Yeah. Today in 66. Think about that. The tournament's getting underway today. It wrapped up today in 66. And, I think I got one other here. Oh, yeah. The war in Iraq began today in 03. So.
You've heard folks elsewhere mock Florida is gonna Florida. Well, Mark Miller sees it differently. He calls it the good, the bad, and the ugly. What you got, Mark?
Well, a dog went dog, and thank goodness that there was assistance there, because in Huntsville, a dog started chasing a raccoon. Chased the raccoon into a cave. Got stuck. But thanks to the Huntsville Cave Rescue Unit, a volunteer cave rescue team, along with the fire department, able to rescue the dog from the cave. So a good job by everyone involved there, except for the dog. Don't go chasing things.
Well, what do you expect the dog to do?
The dog went dog. My neighbor's dog, my next door neighbor, is a great dog. The dog learned how to open the door. My daughter and I came home, picked her up from school the other day, and the dog has the same name as my daughter. Dog's Madeline. Madeline the dog, Madeline the girl. So Madeline, my daughter gets out of the car, she goes, there's Madeline. I'm like, I don't see the owner. Madeline's just wandering around. So we get Madeline back in the house. Turns out the owner next door tells me, watch the dog uses its hind legs and or uses his hip and just plops the door down and then hips the door open. Snuck out of house. They don't lock their door during the day. Now they got to lock their door during the day so the dog doesn't escape. For the bad, we go to Bonita Springs, where Lee County Sheriff's Office is looking for a man accused of stealing from the Bonita Springs Fire Control and Rescue District. The fire department office on Old 41 is open. You see it all the time. You drive down Old 41, you see the doors open, welcoming. They have an open door policy, meaning they leave the bay doors wide open throughout the day. And some jackass came in and stole boots. Firefighter boots, which they have to pay for themselves, cost $1,400, and someone ripped off the boots. Chief DeWitt's pissed, and I don't blame him.
You'd like to think they'd have video, right?
They have video.
Okay.
But they don't have the person who came in and stole the boots.
They will.
Finally, the ugly. We go to the Detroit area of Michigan, where a Wayne County man was arrested after crashing a stolen tree trimming truck in Wood Chipper. Michigan State Police received a call at 4:30 p.m. of a large tree trimming truck pulling a wood chipper being driven recklessly through a township. Turns out the driver was on meth and just decided to go joyriding in a tree trimming truck. Say that 10 times. He eventually crashed the truck, fled on foot, where he was found in a Rubbermaid container.
He was in the Rubbermaid container?
Correct. He fled on foot and jumped into a Rubbermaid container.
Thought that'd be a good place to hide, huh?
Wood chipper might have been a good place for him to hide.
I was going to say, as long as you take the keys with you, nobody can turn it on.
That is the good, the bad, and the ugly on today, March the 19th, 2024. Tree trimming the truck.
Right. We've gone over it now. The tournament gets underway tonight. Wagner and Howard at 6:30 is when the broadcast, 6:40 is when the game will tip. Howard, a 3.5-point favorite. Colorado State, Virginia, estimated time 9:10. Colorado State, a 2.5-point favorite. Both games are on True TV.
Howard, a 3.5-point favorite. Colorado State, a 2.5-point favorite.
South Florida getting 5.5 in the NIT at UCF. ESPN Plus, 9 o'clock, if you're interested. Five games in the NBA tonight, Mark. Orlando, and they're playing really well. They're beating up on some lesser teams. They have a chance to do it again tonight at home against Charlotte. They're a 12.5-point favorite. If you're interested in betting the Magic. By the way, 9 o'clock tonight, NBA TV. It's actually the best game of the night. Denver and Minnesota, who are both tied a half a game behind Oklahoma City. T-Wolves match up really well with Denver. Why? They've got size. But Karl Anthony Towns is out right now. Is that going to affect him? Towns could pull Jokic away from the basket. So anyway, Denver at Minnesota tonight. as those two in Oklahoma City battle for who's going to be the one, who's going to be the two, and who is going to be the three. NHL tonight. Listen, it's a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday league, all right? So we got a whole bunch of games tonight. At 13, I think. Might have miscounted. But Tampa Bay's in Vegas. Lightning on a bit of a roll here.
Every game important for the Lightning as they're trying to secure that last wild card spot. Or the first wild card spot, I should say.
Big game for your guys' Wings tonight at home against Columbus, for goodness sakes.
It's a must win for them. And I'm not joking when I say that. They're playing so poorly right now. They have got to figure out a way to win. Devils with a big game. They host the Penguins. Flyers hosting Toronto. Big game for Philadelphia because they're reeling as the Caps are within a point, I believe, of Philadelphia for third in that division.
And top of the standings, anyway, two division leaders, best game of the night on papers, Winnipeg at the Rangers. Rangers, bunch of injuries, yet have won 5 of 6. So there you go. That's the sports night.
We betting tonight? We betting the first four?
Sure. I think we should bet every game of the tournament.
Well, I've already bet BYU. That I made a bet for us. That's best, done.
Best bet of the first round. BYU, what's it, 6.5 against Duquesne?
It's 9.5.
Oh, it wasn't when it started. Damn.
But Wagner's plus 3.5. Howard minus, obviously Howard minus 3.5. I don't know who we like there. Can you take?
Like, you always take the points in the battle of the 16s.
All right, we'll take Wagner. It's done.
And we're laying the points for Colorado State tonight. Come on, it's Virginia.
I love that. Love it. I think Colorado State's going to win big, actually. You can go to battle.
They can shoot it.
Yeah. They're the worst matchup for a team like Virginia that's just slower than molasses. And you get up 6, and it feels like you're up 15.
I will say this. The Mountain West last year, San Diego State bailed them out by going to the title game. But I think everybody else in the Mountain West last year, and I think they had 5 teams in, lost in the first round.
That is correct. It was
so,
feast or famine.
You know, after the first round last year, the Mountain West was 1-4. Now, San Diego State wins 5 games. Their final record is 5-5. But so the rest of the Mountain West needs to deliver this year. And the Mountain West did not get seeded well either.
No, they figured out how to schedule. They got themselves in the tournament, but they did not get seeded nearly as highly as many thought they would.
So first opportunity for the Mountain West tonight. Come on, Colorado State.
Let's go Rams.
Deliver. Go Rams.
I'll put my Colorado State visor on and everything.
You have a Colorado State visor?
Yeah, I do.
Like a Spurrier visor?
I wear a visor when I golf. Hats are too hot for me. I try to keep the sun out of my face, so I'm a DL3 guy on the course. I don't win a lot.
Come on, now he won like 20 times. You just don't win a lot of majors. That's all. You 3-putt the final green of U.S. Open. That's what you do. Hey, enjoy your Tuesday. We'll do it again tomorrow.